Para NPR Music, esto es Alt Latino. Hoy ficamos muy felices porque para el show de esta semana vamos a hacer un especial sobre la música brasileira.
Oh, hold on, hold on. I don't speak Portuguese.
Well, by the end of the show, I think you will be. What I was saying in my very, very bad Portuguese is that this week we have a show about alternative Brazilian music today. And there's so much music to cover, we decided to do a two-part series.
And to do that, we are joined by Brazilian super producer Beco Dranoff. Now, our faithful listeners will remember that Beco joined us earlier this year to discuss the fantastic compilation Red Hot in Rio 2, which he helped curate. Now, we enjoyed spending time with him so much that we brought him back for our special on Brazilian music. Beco, welcome to the program.
Thank you, guys. So nice to be here again.
So, Beco, what do you want to start us off on?
Well, for this show, I made a selection of a few recent tracks that I'm really in love with, of all kinds of music, and not necessarily Brazilian-based in terms of rhythm or feel. These are new groups and new producers doing very international tracks. So we're going to start with a duo of producers from Brazil. The group is called Sakasaya, and the track is an interesting vocal comp track, very edited, called Ululai. This track is a real trip.
Why is that?
Because it's such a big hip-hop rhythm, but with these vocal loops that they found. And the producers are called Gardenal and Tony Robalo, and they live in Brasilia. This is their first album.
Obviously, the chorus, all the vocals are manipulated electronically. There's a very interesting, almost jazz-like flugelhorn solo going through it. I was wondering if the vocals and the way they're chopped up and syncopated, does that reflect a rhythm, a specific rhythm at all?
No, I think this is really, it comes from the hip-hop world. Their album is very, very hip-hop-ish. I think it comes from that kind of vision. It doesn't have a Brazilian feel, per se. This track could be from anywhere in the world.
It also has kind of a down-tempo Bonobo feel, or like early Thievery Corporation.
Yeah.
But really, I gotta tell you, when I heard this song, I thought like of a Tim Burton movie.
It's a little haunting,
yeah? Yeah, and also Sakasaya, can we talk about the origin of that name in the Brazilian author Mario de Andrade in his novel Macunaíma?
Exactly, Macunaíma. Exactly.
It's a type of Amazonic ant. Ant or aunt? No, ant.
Ant.
It's exactly. A type of Amazonic ant who is super hungry and eats entire people. So when you hear this song, I kind of thought about like all these like crazy ants marching, getting ready to eat somebody. I read that Sakasaya's project was approved by the Secretaria de Cultura do DF, so the Ministry
the
of Culture.
Yeah,
and I was just wondering, I have heard about the Ministry of Culture being really active with artists. Just how active is the Brazilian government in promoting music?
You have to create a project. There's a whole process. There's all these forms. You have to fill an application and say, I'm going to record a record of sambas, and it costs $50,000 or reais or something. And you have to describe where the money is going to be spent, who's producing. You know, it's a really very thorough process. And once they approve that this is a real, you know, cultural project, and you have background and you know what you're doing, you know, they really have to see that you can deliver.
Right.
They give you just a letter saying, with this letter, the Ministry of Culture will approve the deduction of 100% of the sponsorship from any company's income tax for the next following year. So with that letter, you have to find your sponsors.
It sounds like the kind of government-private sector collaboration other countries, in particular this one maybe, can use to adapt to the down economy, but still not make the arts and the culture be sacrificed. It's an interesting program.
It's very, very interesting, and it really has been working for, I believe, the last 15 years. You know, all the movies have it, and it's the only way to make this culture happen. Here, there's a lot of association, brand associations with music and brands, but I think this is such an incentive. You know, you deduct from your taxes 100%, so you really have nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And so Petrobras does it, the big petroleum company, the banks, the Havaianas, you know, everything that's really, really big and powerful in Brazil, they want to be associated with music and art.
And so it's been working. I mean, bands do this.
Yeah. You know, music is one major postcard of Brazil.
So let's continue with more music. What do you have for us next?
So I think we should continue now with I Laika, and the song is called Canção do Mar, the Song of the Sea. Is also a very new duo from São Paulo, a beautiful girl, young lady called Susana Bragato and Zé Ruivo. And they started just in 2008, and I really, really fell in love with the whole album, and I love this track. I think the piano intro and their vibe, it's so international, it's so well produced, and I just heard that they're starting to produce a second album for next year.
You know, Becco, if she sang in English, it would be on contemporary jazz radio station here in the United States, you know.
I was just thinking that to myself, Felix. I said, if this song was in English, it would be a world-class hit.
To me, it shows how like-minded some musicians are, just and how they can be thinking of the same things. And the only difference is the language.
Do you think Brazilian artists feel pressure to sing in English in order to be in other markets?
When I was selecting the music for this show, I almost selected songs that were all in English for this this program. And then I said, no, I could have. You know, almost every current Brazilian, young Brazilian album has a song or two in English. Some people have a whole album in English. But then I said, no, that's not a parameter. Let me mix Portuguese and English. Things are so globalized with the internet that English is, let's say, the lingua franca of the world. English is what connects us all. But there's no pressure. I think people sing in Portuguese or English or French or Spanish. I think the music, the vibe, like this song, you feel a vibe, and it's an international vibe. And it was made in São Paulo. It could have been made in Paris or in China or anywhere in the world. You know, it's just a beautiful, beautiful song.
Vem devagar, vem devagar, me devolve pro meu mar.
sounds very laid back.
Well, it's got the acoustic bass, it's got the acoustic piano, the shakers, but also has, what is that, the Urdu, the drum, the clay drum? That's the only, that's like the principal rhythm thing. It's not even a Brazilian or a Western drum. It's an Eastern African drum.
Yeah,
it's
very good ears, Mr. Contreras.
Well, he's a drummer.
Oh, that's why. That explains a lot.
But then that happens here. I've seen bands here in the United States, a lot of bands using that drum. It's like a round clay pot, has a hole on the top, and you bang on it. That, along with the Peruvian cajon, like you said, it's global. They've become globally adaptable to all kinds of music. And it's interesting to hear them do it in Brazil as well.
In Portuguese, we call the ceramic thing the vase. It's just like a ceramic vase.
That's cool.
Beco, the next song you brought is not laid back. This is Karina Bur from Recife. Let's go ahead and listen to Ciranda do Incentivo.
É de graça, boia no mar. É de graça, é de graça, é de graça. Eu vou fazer uma ciranda pra botar o disco na lei de incentivo à cultura, à cultura, à cultura. Eu vou fazer uma ciranda pra botar o disco na lei de incentivo à cultura, à cultura, à cultura. Mas é preciso entrar no gráfico, no mercado fonográfico. Mas é preciso entrar no gráfico, no mercado fonográfico. Mas eu não sei negociar, eu só sei tocar meu tamborzinho e olhe lá.
It's her first solo album. She's really, really on the foreground of the hip, cool indie Brazilian music today. She's been traveling all over the country. She came from a all-female band called Comadre Florzinha, and then she went solo. And that band was very sort of roots, you know, Pernambuco, Recife music. And then when she moved to São Paulo and she really dove into the indie electronic scene, with some of the best musicians, young musicians in São Paulo. The album is super inventive and super creative. And Ciranda is a style, it's a rhythm style of Pernambuco, which is not this groove at all.
Exactly. I was going to ask you if it's kind of like a tongue-in-cheek, sarcastic thing. Because Ciranda, so, okay, first of all, let's talk about Recife is in northeastern Brazil, correct?
Yes, Recife is the capital of the state of Pernambuco.
And Ciranda is a typical dance of the beaches. It's especially in northern Brazil, in the Pernambuco state. And people think it comes from the Spanish word saranda, which is to sift flour. You know, it has maracas, the two drums, the cuica, the pandeiro, which is like a tambourine, and it's a very traditional dance. So when you brought me this song, Beco, which is just really almost like an electronica punk, and she's saying, I'm going to do a ciranda. It's almost like a punk rocker saying, I'm going to do some square dancing.
A waltz, yeah.
So what's it all about?
I think she is making fun in a way, but she called it ciranda because it's sort of she wants it to sound like a folk thing, because funky carioca now is almost becoming folkloric in Brazil. It's becoming part of the tradition, believe it or not. Ciranda is an old classic style and dance. You know, people dance in circle, and it's beautiful. It's mellow, it's very slow, and people, it's really moving, very emotional dance. Thank you.
produced a lot of young artists. Is there like any type of frustration at that perception, or are people like actively saying, because I've read that, like, look, we're not all bossa nova, we're not all samba.
You know, it's funny, I was reading recently also a piece that people still relate Carmen Miranda to Brazil. So I think that's what I like to do. I like to show, that's why I'm here today. I like to show new things, new sounds. Brazil is so big, it's 200 and something million people. There's so much music from, you know, there's people still doing bossa nova today. There's still people doing everything. My aim is to show the international audiences the current production because I think it's so cool and so relevant. So something that will help make the point for everybody is the next track by amazing São Paulo producer and DJ Gui Borato. He is doing some of the most forward-thinking electronica in the world, I would say, and very sophisticated. This is a song or a track called Era. It's an instrumental from his first album called Chromophobia, and he's now remixing Massive Attack and huge international names. He has a magic touch with detail electronics.
You know, when I told some of the music team people who are really into electronica that we were going to do Gui Borato, they just went crazy. I mean, they love him. And his music is really colorful, which is funny that this is from an album entitled Chromophobia. You know, he's said in interviews that that's ironic, obviously. He's not phobic to the colorful.
No, I think that's why I like it, because some electronic music and electronic dance music can be so repetitive and so linear and so sort of empty. And his music is warm, is beautiful, he's really a musician, and it's trippy. You hear his album on headphones, especially here, walking in New York in the subway. It really takes you places unheard of. And the second album as well, super, super deep. But the first album is almost like a suite. Every track melts to the other track, to the next track. Beautiful stuff.
Did you know he's originally was a guitar player?
No, you see, I didn't know.
You learn something new every day here on All Latino.
Thank you.
And here's a guitar player which is not to be missed. This is Lucas Santana.
Starts. Get out of hand. It's all mixed up. Freak up machine. Count me in. Go, 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 go. Go, 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 go. Go, 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 go. Who can say which way?
That's Lucas Santana, a super guitarist, producer, composer, originally from Salvador, from Bahia, but he lives in Rio now. And this is what we were talking before as well. This is a song in English, which is called Who Can Say Which Way, from his album Sem Nostalgia, which means without nostalgia or without being nostalgic. Very, very modern, very indie rockish meets Brazil song. And Lucas is extremely talented. He plays flute, he plays every instrument in the book.
I read that he began touring with Gilberto Gil and Caetano Veloso in his early 20s. So
that's how we met.
Oh, really?
I was Gilberto Gil's tour manager. Lucas was a young, shy, you know, very, very shy guy. He was 19, I think.
Yeah.
And now he's making some of the most progressive music in Brazil.
But he's very aware of tradition. And I also heard that the name of the album, Sem Nostalgia, which means without nostalgia, is kind of a reference to him looking forward and not looking back at all this bossa nova tradition he's participated in.
Go, 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 go.
We're going to hear now Mombojó, which is, I call them the kids from Chico Science and Nação Zumbi. They are a much younger band from the 2000s and from Recife, again, in Pernambuco. Recife is a wealth of cool new music. And this is a super interesting track. It also has a retro feel. It's called Pa 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 Pa. And it has this 50s, 60s kind of James Bondy kind of mood.
Calando as sombras e os sapos no seu abraço de sol. Eu não desisto em conter um terral que precede o chover, mas não vem. Que não há, não há que em conter um terral que precede o chover.
Okay, I gotta say that it sounds very 60s, okay?
Yeah.
Am I wrong to think that it's like a reflective of the Tropicália, like what was going on back then?
You know, it's the new Tropicália with the old Tropicália, with California Soul, with, you know, Pet Sounds, with films, with that fashion. But this track is a little bit different than the rest of their stuff. This is the last track of their album. This is not specifically characteristic of their style. Their style is more trippy and more Brazilian, but I chose this one because it has this super funny and fun sort of late sunny track.
And let's talk a little bit about that style, which is a movement known as mangue beat. Mangue referring to the mangroves of Recife, and beat like computer beats referring to the electronic influence. And it's really like a cultural movement that was created in the 90s in northeast Brazil, the area of Recife. And one of the things I just love about mangue beat is that one of the big symbols of mangue beat is this antenna stuck in the mud, kind of referring to the swampy areas of Recife, and receiving signals from the entire world.
Exactly. They were a group of friends, very forward-thinking, very young. The symbol is sort of a crab with a parabolic antenna
right.
on the head of the crab. Because
funny.
Being, it's a city with a lot of water. They call it like the Amsterdam of Brazil. And in the 80s and 90s, it was in a very, very rough situation. And this young group of friends started mixing traditional rhythms, maracatu, and adding guitars and adding drums and adding rappers and reinventing and dressing in a way that was a mixture of traditional and modern.
Some of the bands and artists that you've shared with us today, I hear you saying, you know, they're from this place, but then they moved to Sao Paulo. Is there like a city where you've got to be a musician? And, you know, that happens definitely in the U.S. You know, if you want to get into the music business, you might consider, you know, moving to New York or to L.A. or Chicago. Or is it just everyone kind of makes it in their own city?
It's still a very polarized country in the, we call the Southeast region, Sudeste, where São Paulo and Rio are next door to each other. And they are the two biggest cities and the two biggest, richest states, I would say, from Brazil. So the media, the TV, you know, the shows, the bars, the venues, it's easier. It's like being in New York. In Recife, you have maybe 10 spaces to play. In São Paulo, you have 100. And being there, they can play with other bands and other musicians and record and, you know, be invited as a special guest and special jams.
Where's the next band from and what kind of music do they do?
So this next band and the next track we're going to hear, it's a very, very different story. They are from the north of Brazil, a state called Pará, which is the state next door to the Amazon. And the capital is Belém do Pará, which has its own styles and, again, very, very different from the rest of Brazil. This is a very, very psychedelic record that was recorded on an island outside by the Amazon River. And at night, there's a lot of ambience on the whole CD, and crickets and birds and water and leaves. And so they recorded hours and hours and hours outside and then brought it back into a studio in Belém. And I think this track has a super unique feeling. It sounds like Pink Floyd meets the Amazon forest.
Nice.
To me.
Nice.
Na chuva, the rain.
The rain.
What struck me about the song, it could be from anywhere and not necessarily Brazilian, which is a plus. It's not a criticism.
Music is music, and I think this track, a lot of international kids and people would love this. It's a small little production in Brazil, in, you know, the town close to the Amazon. they don't have the exposure. So that's why I really chose them, because the whole album is truly beautiful.
What a wonderful song to finish today's show on.
I agree. I think it's a beautiful goodbye song.
Beko, thank you so much for stopping by.
Beko Dronoff is a music producer and a curator for the Red Hot Organization. It's a nonprofit group dedicated to fighting AIDS through pop culture. And he was kind enough to join us today from our New York bureau.
We've listened to some amazing new Brazilian music today, but fear not, there's more to come. This was just part one of a two-part series, so we'll have more good música brasileira for your ears next week.
In the meantime, tell us what your favorite new Brazilian artists are, and you can join that conversation, tell us who they are, and listen to every song we've played in today's show at npr.org/altlatino.
Also, don't forget to follow us on Facebook and El Twitter.
Special thanks to Mike Katzeff, Jessica Goldstein, and Chuck Thompson.
I'm Jasmine Garst.
And I'm Felix Contreras.
This has been Alt Latino.